If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. And we'll begin by reading verse number 1. Isaiah 40 and verse number 1. As the book of Isaiah is written and studied, it can be said that it is really a Old Testament book which brings forth the whole of the Bible. It's 66 chapters. And when you come to chapter 40, it's really, Old Testament-wise, it's the beginning of the gospel. It's speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we ask right now, O God, that through your Holy Spirit, your word would be brought forth to us to minister your grace to our hearts, that it might bring honor and glory to your name. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. As Isaiah starts out here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1 is a verse that many times we read, but we just read verse number 1 and then we quickly move on. And yet, as we begin this morning, I want to take time to just stop for a few minutes and really let our hearts meditate on that verse as we begin by way of introduction. For it says, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God." When you stop and think about that verse in and of itself is just such a statement that God makes through Isaiah that it would do us well to just really reflect upon. If this verse were in one of the Psalms, I can almost guarantee that after it would be the word Selah. To just stop and think about it. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. If it were spoken by a prophet to the people or by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure that after it was spoken, the people would respond as they did many times by saying amen and amen. Because not only is the statement true, but boy, how true it is to us that God is the God of all comfort. He is the source of our comfort. He is the greatest comfort. He is the one that we seek when we need comfort. And he always comforts his people. But there's some things I want us to see as we begin in verse number 1. Many times when you read the scripture and you study verses and you study passages of scripture, sometimes you really have to study and say, who's speaking? Who's the individual speaking? Who's the person that's speaking here in this passage of scripture? Well, aren't you glad that in verse number 1 you don't have to stop and search too long? You don't have to think too much about who it is. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. God wants us to understand and he wants to be clear about it. He's the one that's speaking. He's speaking to Isaiah. He's speaking through Isaiah. But it's God that's saying, "Comfort ye my people." It's God that's speaking. It's my Heavenly Father speaking to me. It's my Father speaking to me and saying, "I want you to be comforted this morning." But not only do we understand who is speaking, but notice who God says is to be comforted, who he's speaking to. It's very clear, it's very direct, it's very pointed. He says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And so before we go any further, I think that question needs to be addressed. It's a good question to ask, and it's one that we must ask of ourselves. When the Bible says, my people, when God says, comfort my people, who's he speaking about? Well, here in the context, he's speaking to Israel, but not only to Israel. Because if you would turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, you'd see that he's also speaking to you and I this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, when God says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells us this can apply to you and me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful this morning that in Isaiah chapter 40, it's not just to a certain group of people called the Jewish people or to Israel, but that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Right there it says, at one time you weren't a people of God. At one time you weren't part of the family of God. It says, but now you are, because you obtain mercy. So the question must be raised, well, how do I obtain mercy? How do I become a people of God? How do I become a person of God? How can this apply to me? Well, you only have to go back one chapter and see in chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with one thing, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The only way someone can be part of the people of God, the only way that someone can be a child of God, is through faith in Jesus Christ, in his precious blood, which was shed for you and me. Paul said in Galatians, he loved me. He gave himself for me. For by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the question is not only how do you become one of the people of God, but more importantly, are you one of the people of God? Are you a child of God? John 1 and verse 12 said, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. The Bible says you can be a person of God. You can be one of the people of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But the question is, are you? Are you? And you know, there's really only two people that can answer that question. You and the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says this, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knows. God knows who his people are. Jesus knows who his sheep are. But do you know that you're one of the people of God? Do you know, because you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, that question you must ask yourself. Do I know for sure I'm one of the people of God? Do I know for sure I'm a child of God? And friends, you can know that and be sure of that this very morning. You just simply have to trust in Jesus Christ and believe on him and put your faith in him and simply pray and say, Father God, please, I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. Please forgive me and save me. And God has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, it's God speaking. And it's God speaking in regard to his people. Not everybody, but his people, the sheep of his pasture, the ones that are called by his son, Jesus Christ. But then also it says in verse number 1, what is it that God wants for you and me? And I'm thankful for this. You know, God could have said, speak to my people and strengthen them, or protect them, or it could have said a multitude of different things. But it says, comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And I'm thankful for that, because as we go through life, there's many reasons why we need to be comforted. Amen? I mean, how many times does a mother need to be comforted as she raises those children, right? And the days get long, and the days get stressful. And all of a sudden, the husband walks in the door at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and he wants to explain how his day is, and he goes on and on about the stress of his day. She just quietly smiles and shakes her head and says, buddy, you don't have a clue about stress. I just spent the day with your children. And we go through all sorts of stress. And there's all sorts of stress and pressure in this world, in this life. But understand this, that God wants you to be comforted. He wants you to be comforted. He wants our soul to be at rest and at peace, and know the quietness and the peace of God that only he can give. That's why he says, be still and know that I am God. He knows the stress and the pressure of your life, and he knows your life in particular. It's not just that God knows in a general sense, but he knows the very stress of your personal life. And he wants that burden to be lifted. That's why he says, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. But you know, there's something else interesting here. In verse number 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Have you ever stopped to consider who it is that God uses to comfort you and me? So many times we speak about the adversary. We speak about the devil. We speak about how he is accuser of the brethren. Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us there's more in the unseen world than just the devil, folks. It says there's ministering spirits, angels, ministering spirits that are ministered to the heirs of salvation. And you know, it could be that, very well be that, a thought comes to your mind that's a great comfort to you, and it could be that that moment in time, God has sent an angel to just put a word across your mind to comfort you. I mean, did not the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he bowed before his Father and prayed, And God sent an angel to strengthen him. But not only are there ministering spirits, but God uses men. He uses pastors. He uses people who preach the word of God to be a comfort to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as Paul writes to Timothy, encourages Timothy about the ministry that he's given to Timothy. It speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great hope that we have. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the word of God is brought forth to be a comfort for us. But the Bible also says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we are to comfort one another with a comfort with we ourselves are comforted of God. And God wants us to comfort one another, to be an encouragement to one another, to edify one another. And of course we know, I trust we know, and I hope we know, that the greatest one to comfort us is the one that indwells us, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the living God. That when Jesus Christ, in those days, when he, that last night in which he's betrayed, sought to comfort his disciples, he spoke to them about how he would send them another comforter, the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, happy Mother's Day, Monica, and you're not bothering me, by the way, And he would send the comforter. And in those chapters, he would tell his disciples that the comforter that would indwell them, that would be with them, that would never leave them, would not only guide them into all truth, but then he says, would bring all things that I have spoken to you to your remembrance. And so verse number one is a statement that just tells us that, wow, God wants us to be comforted. He wants us to be comforted. It's God's desire, it's God's purpose that we be at peace and rest even in these days, excuse me, in these bodies, in this life. But this morning I want us to go further. I want us to see in the first few chapters of Isaiah some truths about God's comfort. And I trust there'll be a blessing to you this morning. But God's comfort, he says, comfort my people, saith your God. So there's several truths that we're going to see this morning in the first chapters here, beginning chapter 40, that how we can be comforted of God. And the first one is, if you look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 10, if you want to be comforted this morning, the first thing is in Isaiah 40 and verse number 10, and all you people with pens, I see Erica waiting to write, what is he going to say? Behold your God. Isaiah 40 and verse number 10. Not verse number 10, excuse me. Verse number 9. It's right above verse number 10 where I'm looking and it's highlighted. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. God says, speak up. Tell my people to look to me. Behold your God. Behold your God. This is the greatest source of comfort. When the eyes of our hearts are turned heavenly, to behold, to gaze, to look upon our Savior and our God, that's where we find the greatest source of our comfort, friend. Is in the face of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to read, if I'm able to, I want to read some verses out of Isaiah 40. Because Isaiah 40, the whole chapter, is a chapter that turns our eyes to God. Just as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But look at verse number 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, it says the word was made flesh, dwelt among us. And what does it say? We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here it says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Look down at verse number 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Check this out. You want comfort? The word of our God shall stand forever. There's comfort, friend. That no matter what day it is, no matter what trial it is, no matter circumstance, this is still faithful and true. And it's good for today. And it's good for you, and it's good for me. Go down to verse number 10. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Look at verse number 11. Here's another comfort as you look at your God, as you behold your God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know, he's speaking about us. Whether you look at Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or you go to John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all. He's our shepherd, folks. He's our shepherd. And then you look at verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Look down at verse number 18. To whom then will you liken God? It says, behold your God. Or what likeness will you compare him unto? Look at verse number 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. And Isaiah 40 says, behold your God. You want comfort this morning? It starts by getting your eyes off of the things down here and lifting them up to heaven and looking to the very throne of God and beholding our God and our Savior. Because Isaiah speaks about beholding your God and who is like your God. And then he comes down to this. Look at verse number 27. Here's the comfort. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speak as though Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. And he says, why do you think that somehow your life is the exception to God's word? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, that created the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? And then it says this, there's no searching of his understanding. In other words, it says, your world is not hid from God. Your way and your life and your the things that are going on in your life, they're not hid from your God. They're not hid from your Lord. He understands more than even you and I do. He understands it all. He giveth power to the faint. To them that hath no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and be not faint. But that's not the only chapter that says, behold your God. If you go over to chapter 42, Isaiah 42, it says it again. And here it's specifically pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isaiah 40, behold your God. Who is like unto your God? In Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. When Jesus Christ came, and when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and he baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says a voice spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And here Isaiah chapter 42, behold my servant. And check out the last part of that. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. There's an encouraging and comforting word right there. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment in the truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people that walk upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out from the prison, them that sit in the darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. You know, David would say in Psalm 40, he says, I was in a horrible pit. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up out of that horrible pit. He established my goings. He set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And here in Isaiah 42, as it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the very Son of God that gave his life for you and me, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, that new song is in your heart. His praise from the end of the earth. And ye that go down to the sea and all that therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Look at verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. And so, friend, the beloved brethren, the first thing that God speaks about comfort is when we get our eyes on him. When our eyes are lifted up beyond the toils and the cares and the muck and the mire of this mess that we are living in today. And they look up at heavens and they see, my Father, my God, my Savior. And you see His face towards you. He says, I'm the God of all comfort. But that leads me to a second thing. Because when you look to your God, when you behold your God, not only are you comforted in that, but the second thing is, look at Isaiah 41. Because the next chapter tells us that one of the blessings of being comforted by God is that all of a sudden something flees away. Something that doesn't bring us comfort. Something that causes the exact opposite of comfort. And you know what flees away? All the fears of this life. All the stress, all the anxiety. You see, when you look at the trials of life, when you look at the problems of life, when you look at what's going on around, man, tell you what, there's only one thing that can give you is stress. Right? I mean, anyone in the building department right now, every time you go to Home Depot, you're stressing. They say the prices of wood have gone through the roof, right? Right? I mean, it's, I don't know, it's tripled, quadrupled, whatever. Because a bunch of guys got COVID and they couldn't run their chainsaws. Wish they'd called me up. I would have gone and helped them. No. Anyways. But life is filled with stress. And yet, in Isaiah chapter 41, here's the second, the point. First one's behold your God. Second one is be not afraid. Be not afraid. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Fear thou not. Fear thou not. What are the first words when Jesus speaks to his disciples in John chapter 40 as he seeks to comfort them as he's going to the cross and know he's going to leave them and go back to glory? What's the first thing he says? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. First thing he says, don't fret. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Trust me. Believe in me. You believe in God, believe also. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Fear thou not. Why? Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord says, fear not. I'm with you. I'm with you. He says, I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you. I'm with you. In fact, go to verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Well, I tell you, there's a comfort, right? He says, I'm holding your right hand. Thank you, Lord. And saying unto you, fear not, I will help thee. Over and over and over again. The Lord says, here's my comfort. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not. Look at verse 13, the latter part. Not only will he hold our right hand, he says, I will help you. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then after chapter 42, when he points to the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to chapter 43. And once again, it's be not afraid. Look at chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. You know why? For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. You know why we don't have to fear? Because I belong to Jesus. I'm his. I'm his child. He's my father. He's my shepherd. He's my Lord. He says, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. be not afraid. Verse 2. Oh, you're going to pass through some waters. But when you pass through those waters, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I remember one of the most frightening times in my life as a young person was I think I was in elementary or maybe junior high at the most. But we used to go a block down from our house was a junior high school and all the playgrounds and the fields. We used to go down there and play. And one day we went down there to play, and we were playing down there, and all of a sudden a storm came up. It was a really, really heavy downpour, really heavy rain, and it was pouring hard. And the street going back up two blocks to our house was, it just seemed like the water was, I don't know, 30 feet high, you know, and 100 feet wide. I mean, to us kids, that's, it was so bad that we were having trouble pushing our bikes up the street. It was just a heavy storm. And I can remember we were struggling that afternoon to get back home to the house. And I'll never forget that standing on the porch, there was people standing on the porch. And we were struggling to get our bikes up the road in this rain. And I'll never forget, as a young person, these people were laughing at us. And it's always just, I just always remember these people, they didn't come down to help us, but they were laughing at us. That's not our God, folks. When we pass through the waters, he says, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. And he says, don't be afraid. Go to John chapter 14 just for a moment. John chapter 14. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. But in John chapter 14, as Jesus Christ is speaking and comforting, encouraging his disciples, in verse number 25 of John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. And then look at what he says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, don't be afraid. I give you peace. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. And he says, a Comforter, he's going to teach you this. He's going to remind you of this. He's going to refresh you with it. And so number one, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and on, number one, the comfort. Number one, look to your God. Behold your God. Behold your God. That'll bring great comfort. Number two, be not afraid. Don't fear. Because the Lord says, you're mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You belong to me. I'll be with you. He says, you don't have to be afraid. But there's one more. There's one. Go to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. First, behold your God. Second, be not afraid. Third, be refreshed. Be refreshed. You know how often during the day, don't you just need to stop and pause and get a cool drink of water? Right? Where's Brother Ray? way in the back. You're sitting way in the back today. He came around the corner of the building the other day, and I was sitting in my truck. And he said, he just looked at me, and he saw obviously that I was just sitting there trying to get refreshed, trying to get my breath. You know, throughout the day, we need to be refreshed. Where do you get your refreshment? Where do you get refreshing? Only one place, folks. The Lord your God. Look at Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. The Lord says, listen, get this, hear this. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. Look at verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. The Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You know, when you're thirsting, when your soul is thirsting, when you need refreshment, spiritual refreshment, it's only one place to go, and that's the Lord. Do you need to be refreshed by the Lord this morning? Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Go back to Isaiah 41 and verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert of the fir tree, and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together. The hand of the Lord hath done this. The Holy One of Israel hath created it. He says, I'll open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys, wilderness a pool of water, dry land springs of water. He says, when you're in the dry land, when you're in the wilderness, when you're in a valley, he says, I can refresh you with the water of life that only I can give. Do you remember in John chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to that well, and there's that woman at the well? He comes to that woman at the well, and he says this to her. Verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know, Jesus Christ gives us water, his water, water of life, that not only refreshes, he says, but you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst. You know, as much as I love the taste of Pepsi, not Coke, it never satisfies, does it? You can drink a 2-liter. Well, Jared can drink a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi. Right, Jared? You can drink a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi and you can be thirsty 30 seconds. But you drink one cool glass of water, right? Just one fresh, cool glass of water that's not taken from the city tap. And it'll refresh you. Satisfy your thirst. John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, that last great day of the feast, Bible says in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But the Lord said, if any man thirst, and if you're thirsting this morning to be comforted, be satisfied, once again, there's only one place to go, and that's Jesus. He's the only one that can give you the water of life that refreshes your soul this morning. But you know, Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. God himself speaking. to you and me so that we know he wants us to be comforted. He wants our soul to be at peace and rest this morning. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He's the one that said his peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But if you go back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43. The reason he was saying this was to Israel and encouraging them and calling them to be comforted. Is because Israel had turned away. When you and I turn away from the Lord, when we get our eyes off of him, that's when we get weary. And in Isaiah chapter 43, after all those words that the Lord said about comfort, in Isaiah 43 and verse 22, the Lord says this, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. And the Lord says, but Israel, you haven't called upon me. You've become weary of me. And as much as God wants to comfort you and I this morning, to find that comfort, we need to come to him. You know, this past year definitely brought an unprecedented disruption to Christianity. Boy, it certainly disrupted our gathering together, didn't it? And in that disruption, it hindered our encouraging one another, fellowshipping one another, communion one another, comforting one another. And only time will tell the lasting effect it will have on Christians. One of my fears is that this past year has done great harm to some Christians in their personal lives. And they've gotten weary of the Lord now. Not walking with the Lord as close as they used to. And the Lord says to Israel, he says, you've wearied of me. But now go back to one more passage of Scripture. Isaiah 44. Because I'm thankful this morning that God does not give up on you and me. We can get weary of him, but he doesn't get weary of us. Because look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And then he says this. Think of the comforting words here. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. God says, I know you've gotten weary of me. He said, but I haven't forgotten you, and I won't forget you, and I won't fail you, and I'll be faithful. He says, return, return. Just return unto me. Whether you're here this morning in this room or watching online or some other way, the Lord your God is telling you this morning. He says, I want you to be comforted. I want you to know my peace. I want you to behold me, your God. I want you to be not afraid, but be strengthened by me. I want you to be refreshed. And so he invites you. Just return to him. Jesus said it. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. God wants you to be comforted today. But you have to come to him. He's the source of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Let's pray.